Life Audio.
On the next Encouragement for You, pastor and author Dr. Gene Getz talks about his bout with long COVID, and Dr. Dan Allender shares insights on overcoming sexual abuse.
Welcome to the Encouragement for You podcast, brought to you by Encouragement Communications in association with the Salem Web Network and is part of the Life Audio Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com. In just a moment, your host, Don Hawkins, will introduce today's episode. First, a word from our sponsors.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
More and more information is coming out about the effects of long COVID. For 8 months, Dr. Gene Getz was hospitalized, and his family was told he wouldn't make it. Recently, Gene shared his experience and miraculous recovery with host Don Hawkins.
Dr. Gene Getz has suffered with long COVID. He's been a pastor, he's been a church planner, a seminary professor, author of numerous books, including putting together, as something Dr. Charles Ryrie once said, the very junior co-author of the Ryrie Study Bible. You're the very junior co-author of the Life Essential Study Bible.
That's right, Don, and that's been an exciting journey.
I know it has, and we're going to talk more about that. And Gene, you went from COVID diagnosis to the brink of death to miracle recovery. We have about a minute before the break. Give us a 60-second overview.
Well, yes, my family met to say goodbye. I was in the hospital. I didn't know about it. I didn't remember it. They said I was coherent. I was talking about a trip to Europe or something, and I sounded logical, rational, but I don't remember it. But my doctor said, you better bring the family in because Gene's not going to make it. He's going to go home. So,
but God had other plans.
He did. I was actually in the hospital for 8 months.
Wow.
And I wasn't able to roll over. I couldn't get out of bed. They had to hoist. When they started making me exercise, they hoisted me up and out and set me in a chair. But it was an incredible experience. I had pneumonia, actually, three times. Food was going into my lungs. I was aspirating. I was on a feeding tube for 8 months.
Wow.
I didn't taste food or water for 8 months. It was all going in a feeding tube.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was able to take that tube out and had mashed potatoes and gravy for the first time.
Oh.
Whoa.
That had to be a memory.
And
yes.
my taste did come back. That's part of the miracle.
Yeah.
And also ice water. Oh, just think about not tasting water for 8 months.
Yeah.
Some people, of course, it's longer than that. But for me, I just guzzle ice water now.
What was your initial reaction when COVID hit?
Well, I didn't know what was really happening. So I went through a process of not knowing whether I was going to recover at all. And by the way, from my hips up, I feel like I'm 60 rather than 90.
Wow, that's great.
And I'm encouraged by that. But as I look back on the experience, I don't really know why I'm here. to be honest, Don, I had a good friend, Steve Weinberg. And while I had COVID, he got COVID.
And he didn't make it.
3 days, he was gone.
Wow.
And I say, you know, why Steve? And why am I here? And I really can't answer that question, but I have to say that in my heart, I want to serve him.
Yeah.
And be available to him and do what he wants me to do. And God just continues to open doors. I never thought I'd be back in the office, basically full time, serving him. It's been incredible.
And God left you here, Gene. I believe the answer to your question is there's more to be done with the Life Essentials Study Bible.
Well, that's what I see. I'm very hesitant to say God preserved my life when he took other people that are more worthy than me. But now that I'm here, yes.
Yeah. Well, it's like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, by the grace of God, I am what I am.
Yeah, right.
And he is the one that makes the decision.
By the way, I like to say I'm here because of God's grace.
Yes.
And Mama's genes.
You mentioned that in some of your publications. Your mother lived to what age?
98.
98.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
You know, it's Kathy's dad and my dad both reached very close to 94. And it was amazing that the lives that God's given them. And I'm thankful for the genes that I have, Gene. And I know, Gene, you are thankful for, pardon the puns, folks, the genes that God has given you. That is a part of it. But you've also taken care of yourself, and you've been very vigorous in work and exercise over your lifespan.
I have, yes. And it's been a significant part of playing racquetball, playing volleyball, skiing.
You've jumped out of airplanes.
Well, not airplanes. I did helicopter ski in Canada about three times and skied down. We had guides going down, but that was an incredible experience, and I did that almost to the time I was 80, and then to get COVID and then to face what I did was pretty traumatic for me.
What encouragement would you offer those who have lost loved ones to COVID, those whose loved ones didn't experience long COVID, but like your friend, their lives were taken?
You know, Don, it's like visiting somebody in the hospital who is dying. And I don't go in and say, I know how you feel.
Yeah.
Because I don't.
Yeah.
I know a little bit about that now. But what I say is, I love you. I'm here for you. And I would say that that's the greatest thing that can happen to anyone is they have someone who's simply there.
Yeah.
Understands, in a sense, they can't say, I know what you're feeling, unless they've really been there. Don't say that. You can't get inside of people and experience what they're really experiencing. Most of us can.
But you can be there for them.
That's
and
it.
Isn't that an amazing thing? The word encouragement, the biblical concept, to be
That's
called
right.
alongside to help. My book,
That's
Master
right.
Discipleship, a big piece of discipleship is encouragement.
That's right. And you know, the interesting thing about that is that the Greek word parakaleo is the word that is translated to encourage many times. And the Holy Spirit was called the parakletos, coming from the same word. But in Hebrews it says, we are to encourage one another. In other words, God has given us, in a sense, the same nomenclature as the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And because he came, gave us the word, we can be a parakletoi. We can be the encouragers.
I have to ask you, there are many other details we could get into, but what is the greatest lesson God has taught you through this experience?
One of the greatest lessons is the importance of prayer.
Yeah.
There were thousands of people praying for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, God used medicine miraculously when I was 4 hours from a ventilator. And they say if I'd gone on that ventilator, I would not have lived or I'd have been mentally incapacitated. In fact, my doctor says it's more miracle than medicine. She actually says that prayer, God used prayer beyond all the other aspects. So prayer just became more meaningful to me, and prayer with my wife became more meaningful to me.
We'll be back with more after a brief word from our sponsors. And don't forget to listen for Dawn's live weekend talk show, Encouragement Live, heard Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central Time on American Family Radio and other radio stations around the country, as well as on the worshipchannel.org. Statistics indicate that one woman in three and one man in seven has suffered sexual abuse. From his years of experience counseling sexual abuse victims, author and therapist Dr. Dan Allender offers hope and healing for victims.
Dan, this subject of redeeming sexuality could be considered controversial, but it could not be considered anything but biblical, could it?
Well, we begin with the unbelievably obvious point. We are made in the image of God, male and female. He created us in the image of God. We know that something about being male and female reveals the very heart and character of God. No wonder evil spends so much time trying to destroy our joy in being men and women and destroying through shame our sense of the goodness of our sexuality.
And, you know, there was a time when people took a more Puritan approach to this issue, and even going back to the Middle Ages, the whole idea that to be married or have a sexual relationship in marriage or to talk about it was somehow taboo. But Scripture did not take that approach, even beginning in the Garden of Eden.
No, a theologian as brilliant and as important to us all as St. Augustine actually wanted to have a fellow bishop in North Africa put to death because the man had preached that there was meant to be pleasure in the marital sexual union. He thought that was so scandalous and heretical that he actually worked to have that man killed. That's how, I don't know a better word, I'm sure there are technically better words, that's how crazy Christians can be with regard to this topic of sexuality.
And our society, Dan, has gone to the other extreme and glorified every possible expression of sexuality far beyond the bounds of Scripture, and that's part of the problem, too.
Well, let's just be very blunt to say that when Christians abandon anything of God, you can be very sure that evil will fill that vacuum with that which is utterly contrary to God's plan. But that doesn't then mean sex is of the realm, ultimately, of the devil. It just means that when we abandon truly thinking and talking about sexuality in a biblical way, we leave vast realms open for that perversion.
One of the ways, Dan, that evil has obviously perverted and twisted sexuality is through sexual abuse. You mentioned your wife's ministry to young girls who are prostitutes on the streets of Seattle, reaching out to them and trying to get them out of the life, as it's called. And yet there is, within so-called respectable America and other parts of the world, a vast amount of sexual abuse that has taken place. Help us understand the scope of this.
Well, when we look at the nature of sexual abuse, at least within what could be called the exploited and the prostituted women on the streets, literally up to 95% have a history of past abuse, and usually that's what drove them to the streets at age 14. So they may be on the street at age 18, 20, 22, or later, but they became, in many ways, the direct recipient of violence and then the living out of that violence in a tragic way. At many levels, there are many women in suburbia who have the same history of abuse and some of the same consequences of learning to hate their bodies and therefore turning against the joy, the pleasure that God intended for us to be able to enjoy without shame or without our own or others' accusation.
Dan, before we get into some specifics about this, there's a broad overarching issue or question that we need to touch on.
And that is, when a person has been the victim of sexual abuse, there's often a sense of hopelessness. I'm stuck for the rest of my life. I will never be able to reclaim the joy that married people can experience in that part of life that God has so beautifully designed.
Oh, I think you've put it so brilliantly. The fact is, I feel like I'm damaged goods, and the best I can do is to hope to hide, which means keep it in silence. But wherever there's silence like that, there is the power of shame. And wherever there's shame, evil is at work to continue its accusations that there is something foul, dark, evil, ugly about the nature of our sexual desire or our own sexual past or present. So we need to see that evil is just deeply involved, intimately involved in trying to accuse and pervert the very joy and pleasure that God intends in the midst of our sexuality.
Dan, talk about the effect of someone having been a victim of sexual abuse in a marriage relationship. How can this affect a marriage?
Well, I think there are three words which we'll throw out very quickly. First of all, there's always going to be a breakdown of trust. And the word I would bring is hypervigilance, where you're watchful, 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 always looking to see if you're going to get hurt, very judgmental in the sense. Second point, that you have very little hope. Oftentimes, there is a deep despair, as you said, and people learn to live with that. People learn to live without hope, but it's just fundamentally a joyless life. And third, an immense amount of shame with regard to their body and desire or pleasure. So if you put those three words, a breaking of trust, hypervigilance, really a loss of hope, despair, and a sense of hatred with regard to one's own body, no wonder evil spends so much time bringing about the harm of sexual abuse, given its consequences literally can be over a 40, 50, 60, 70-year period of time that strips us of our joy of life.
Dan, I think one of the things that would be of help here is for us to get a handle on this concept of shame. We often remember when we were children our parents saying, shame on you, or maybe a teacher in school. But help us understand what we mean by shame in this context.
Well, certainly we know that shame is a way of accusing something about the nature of our own heart and body and goodness. So it is an effort to make you be bad, not just feel bad, but be bad. And then it strips your dignity. It strips away your honor and your goodness. So it accuses, it mars, and ultimately, it wants to destroy. In many ways, what I just said was what Jesus talks about in John 10:10 with regard to the nature of evil.
Yeah.
It mars, it kills, it destroys. So shame really is the handiwork of evil's desire to see glory, beauty, destroyed.
And let me just address the whole issue of evil's desire. I think there's and I'd love to get your response to this, a twofold component to that. One is that Satan, the thief Jesus referred to there, clearly is a part of all this. But there's also a component of we live in a fallen world. We all have old natures. And so essentially what you have is the world, the flesh, and the devil all cooperating together to mar the picture that God established.
Again, absolutely. In other words, evil sometimes doesn't have to accuse because we're doing its work.
Yeah.
We're accusing ourselves in a way in which it defies the very nature of there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Then why do you continue to condemn yourself for what is not your fault?
Let's go to the phones. Pam is listening in Mississippi.
Hi.
Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Well, there's three things about our marriage in the sexual relationship area that just drive me crazy and they're very, very hurtful. My husband, for one thing, is very verbally abusive, so he may have verbally abused me all day and then wants to have sex at night. Number two, he uses things. If he does things for me during the day, he says, you know that you owe me now. And number three, he touches me inappropriately when there's other people around and embarrasses me to death. People may not have seen it, but it still, he knows that it makes me terribly humiliated. So those are some of the things that I have to deal with. And so it makes it, by that time that evening comes, that I'm not even interested.
Well, I'm so glad you called us, Pam, and sounds like some real challenges in the relationship that go even beyond sexuality. Let's talk to Dr. Allender about these. Dan?
Well, Pam, if you were interested in sexual interaction with your husband, what I would call that is perverse. You're being abused. Is that clear?
Yes.
And for a woman to be abused and to think that she's supposed to be aroused, desiring, wanting to move into a sexual relationship, what I would say is you are absolutely not to be involved sexually with your husband. You need to be very clear. As long as you're abusive, there will be no sexual interaction with you. And not only that, until you begin to name and deal with the abuse, we don't really have a marriage, and therefore I will make my commitment to help you see your harm, expose the damage that you're doing, and my commitment to you is to honor you by telling you the truth, not being mean, but simply saying, I will bring a mirror to help you see your brutality. Your husband obviously is aroused by being brutal, and that needs to be exposed to your pastor. It needs to be exposed to her, you know. In other words, this is an issue that has to be addressed in the community that you're part of rather than isolated between the two of you.
Is this also a place, Dan, where a Christian counselor could be of significant help to Pam and her husband?
My guess would be, absolutely, Don, but my guess would be a man like this is probably, at least not initially, going to be willing to submit himself to the interaction with another person unless... Yep. He's got consequences that come from outside of him.
Yeah.
In other words, your father-in-law saying to this man, stop it. This won't continue. Your pastor saying to him, stop it. This will not continue. And we will shepherd you, holding you accountable to become the man you need to be rather than being abusive to your wife. We let abuse so often continue in the Christian community thinking that we're actually helping the woman by telling her to be submissive, defined as keep enduring his abuse. That is neither biblical nor is it true submission.
We are going to pray that God will give you wisdom and courage. And there's a book that Dan has written that I think would be very helpful to you. It's titled Bold Love. And Dan, it seems to me that the course of action you're prescribing for Pam is a bold love course of action.
Absolutely. In other words, it's not one of violence. It's not one of rejection. It's a matter of the exposing heart of God with grace as the open arms to receiving the one who needs to be forgiven.
And Pam, it's a great message to communicate, to say, I'm your wife, I love you, I would love to have the best of intimate relationships with you, but it simply cannot happen in the context of this kind of abuse. And it is my urgent prayer and desire that you will be willing to make the changes to bring that about. We're going to pray for you to that end. Dan, would you lead us in prayer?
Absolutely. Father, we ask that you would be with Pam even now, that you would bless her and surround her with your favor, that her courage needs to grow, that her voice needs to become stronger, that she needs to expose the cruelty and the abuse, and to invite her husband to repent. Give her freedom, Jesus, from any foolish notion of a false view of submission. Give her freedom, Jesus, to be able to love her husband in the midst of his cruelty, but also to understand what it means to honor and respect him with consequences. We ask that, Jesus, in your name.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Encouragement for You with Dawn Hawkins, host of Encouragement Live Radio and author of over 25 books, including Never Give Up and Master Discipleship Today. You can find more about Dawn and his books at encouragementlive.org. Encouragement for You is a production of Encouragement Communications with the Salem Web Network and lifeaudio.com. editing by Phil Giebers, production by Elizabeth Andrade. If you enjoyed what you heard today, we'd love for you to head over to your favorite podcast app and leave us a review. It really does help people find us.
Let me take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on Encouragement for You. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you'll find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more.
Stay encouraged and join us next time for Encouragement for You.
No matter what you're going through, you are not alone. Sis, if you've experienced pain in your father-daughter relationship, I want you to know that you are loved and seen. I'm Kia Stevens, host of the Hope for Women with Father Wounds podcast, and I created my show to help you exchange your father wounds for the love of God the Father. Join me for encouragement, wisdom, and scripture. Just search Hope for Women with Father Wounds on lifeaudio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.